embracing this kind of team mentality and focusing on what you individually are good at and then delegating or deferring to others. That's been my mantra from day one and what I've focused on.
Unconventional Life, the show where I interview successful entrepreneurs, artists, creators, and thought leaders on how they earn their living in non-traditional ways. Twice a week, we will explore how they took the path less traveled, what their revenue model looks like, and why they are prioritizing their passion over their paycheck. I'm your host, Joel Schroeder.
Unconventional Life, welcome. This is your host, Joel Schroeder, tuning in today from Boulder, Colorado. Today's guest is joining us just on the other side of the road, basically, Doug Campbell in the house from Louisville, Colorado. Doug, are you ready to take us down the path less traveled?
Absolutely.
Amazing. Excited to have Doug on the show. He is what you might call a parallel entrepreneur. So I know we've all heard about serial entrepreneurs. We're going to talk a little bit more about what parallel entrepreneurship is. He is currently the CEO and co-founder of Solid Power, a developer of all solid state batteries for electric vehicles. And I know you've done successful partnerships with BMW, Ford to really develop some of these batteries while also navigating the world of federal funding. You're raising about $26 million in a Series A. But in addition to that, you've actually co-founded three Colorado-based startups with over 20 years of experience, coming back to that parallel entrepreneurship, building these businesses in tandem with each other, you know, whether it's been hard-based technology, energy storage, aerospace, defense, all these different things. But beyond all of that, you've also been a professional mountain biker and have really enjoyed, you know, the world of getting outside, the athletics and different things like that, and have, you know, had quite a story, you know, starting in Albuquerque, New Mexico, and really getting out of the real world, I guess, in that one way in 2011. So we'll dive into all of that. But Doug, welcome to the show. Fill in any gaps that I might have left out and give us a glimpse into your personal life.
Yeah, absolutely. So definitely happy to be here. Yeah, I've had what, as one colleague referred to it, a highly nonlinear career. a lot of different experiences. And again, as you've indicated, I was actually just thinking there was, along my entrepreneurial journey, there was a point at which I was CEO of three different startups. I think this would have been, you know, kind of in the 2013, 2014 timeframe. So that's kind of what I mean by parallel entrepreneur.
Yeah. So we kind of just peel back the curtain a little bit. I can only imagine, you know, being CEO of three different startups. What else would we see beyond, just so the listeners get some more context of your world? Do you have a family? Like, if we were a fly on the wall, what would be the well-roundedness we would see of your life in the day-to-day as well? What other components make up your life?
Yeah, absolutely. I do have a family. So married with two sons. Sons are 18 and 14, both super active. So one is, both of them play competitive soccer at a super high level during the winter. Another one is also a competitive ski racer. So
wow.
Spend a lot of time on the weekends going from, you know, events to events, and still occasionally manage to get out on my bike to try to maintain a little bit of fitness. But it's a nonstop. I wake up in the morning and my schedule's pretty much booked all the way up until it's dinner time.
Yeah, I can imagine. Well, it definitely sounds like a well-rounded life, to say the least. And, you know, I'm curious, like, especially in the realm of being, you know, the CEO at that one point of these three different companies, I would imagine when you first got started, it's not like you saw yourself going in that direction. Like, you know, I don't think anyone necessarily wakes up and they're like, I'm going to be the CEO of three companies. I think when people are starting their journey, it's like, can we just get even going with one? And so what snapshots would we have seen along the way that kind of led you to that moment? And I know you recently, you know, stepped down and are now just full-time in just one of the companies. But what would have been some of the snippets we would have seen along the way that led you there?
Yeah, well, I mean, so you're absolutely right. You know, I didn't just wake up one morning and say, gosh, I'm going to start one company after another. What I really am is an opportunist. So, you know, for me, stepping into the world of being an entrepreneur is a little bit of a kid in a candy store kind of situation, where it was, you know, as different opportunities presented themselves. I'll pursue that. Yeah, I'll pursue that. And, you know, especially early on, it's easy to do when everything is just, you know, an idea and maybe a, you know, rough sketch on a piece of paper. But again, as things start to take off, you know, there's a point at which you sort of look in the mirror and you're like, holy crap, I'm running, you know, three different startups right now, all of which are growing. This is didn't necessarily plan on this.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And just in terms of the capacity and skill set that you begin to develop, right, to actually be able to effectively, you know, run those companies. And as we were just talking, you know, one of the companies actually had even scaled, you know, even beyond Solid Power. And so, I mean, they were successful endeavors, not just, like you said, these idea stages. Yep. What were some of the tools and even the mindset or the way that you would just prepare yourself to be able to do that? And any advice or perspective you could offer for those that have multiple passions or multiple opportunities that they're either working with or would like to work with?
Yeah, to me, it's really simple. It really comes down to having a high degree of humility. So, and what I mean by that is recognizing what you're good at, what your individual superpower is. I believe we all have them, but then also recognizing that everything else is not necessarily your superpower. And frankly speaking, finding people that complement you. Because it's not all about you as the entrepreneur. You need to recognize early on you need help. If you're more of a technologist, you need to find a more of a business oriented person to complement you. And of course, conversely, if you're more the business person, you need to find somebody that's a little bit more conversant in whatever technology it is you're focused on. So that early on, embracing this kind of team mentality. And focusing on what you individually are good at and then delegating or deferring to others on everything else. And that's been my mantra from day one and what I've focused on as I, even today, constantly looking for skill sets that complement me.
Great advice there. And I just, you know, to play devil's advocate with you a little bit, you know, let's say someone says, you know, Doug, I'm this, you know, solo entrepreneur, you know, I don't have much resource allocation, which I imagine you know, obviously when you're in startup phase, obviously there's, you know, not as much resource allocation to different things. Like, how do I even, you know, have a team? Or how do I even have the budget to hire a team? Or how do I even get this thing off the ground? I'm sure those were some of the things that you encountered. Any perspective you could offer there?
So to me, when you're at a super early stage, so don't even have a, you know, a checking account, to me, a really simple litmus test as you're trying to reach out to folks are frankly people that, you know, don't necessarily have their hand out. They sort of understand that at your stage, the only thing you really have is your idea and your equity in your idea. And if, you know, if those potential team members are willing to kind of, you know, take on that sweat equity, that's really what's needed. So many times you interact with, you know, sort of professional service providers, you know, that'll come to you with their handout. And I would argue that that's not what you're looking for. You're looking for people that kind of embrace that entrepreneurial mindset and get it from day one, I'm not going to get a paycheck. And then I'm okay with that. You know, I've got the long game here and I'm okay to, you know, exchange a paycheck for equity.
Yeah, absolutely. I love that advice as well. And so just to kind of like zoom back out a little bit, you know, into your life, as I said, you know, in the introduction, you know, mountain biking was a part of your journey. I also know, you know, in your teens as well, you identified, you know, just having a, like, you know, early adulthood was a bit troubling just in terms of teenagers and getting into all of that. And then moving into cycling and then eventually engineering and then eventually having, you know, an advisor tell you that you weren't civil engineering material, which then maybe led you into this business way or to kind of combine these things. But taking all of these components, you know, one thing I hear from a lot of our listeners is I have so many sides to myself or so many interests or so many passions. How do I incorporate them into what I'm doing, or do I have to choose? And how do I know which was the right thing to choose? And I know you've had a very atypical career trajectory. So how have you grappled with some of that, with having all of these different evolutions along the way?
You know, I think for me, it was really focusing, really scratching whatever itch of the day was there. I mean, if I look, you know, as I said before, very, very nonlinear career path. I mean, I didn't even graduate with my bachelor's degree until I was 29. So, you know, on the one hand, you might say, gosh, look at all that time you lost. That being said, you know, I had a ton, you know, I got a lot of experience, you know, both as a professional bike racer. As I jokingly like to say, I got used, you know, my practice in public speaking came as I worked as a server in restaurants for, you know, a decade. So I just got comfortable speaking in public settings. You know, I wouldn't trade that for anything. And so, you know, even when I was in my early 20s, I wasn't thinking about being an engineer. I was thinking about just, you know, being responsible, you know, paying some bills, and because that's what I needed at the time. And then, you know, as I got into being a professional cyclist, that taught me the discipline, that, you know, because professional cycling is not an easy sport. You've got to eat right. You've got to train pretty much all year round. And, you know, results come very, very slowly. It's a lot like business. you know, it's, you gotta, you know, success comes very, very slowly in business. And cycling kind of taught me that, taught me the discipline and the patience. And so I'm glad I went through it. I'm glad I didn't really enter into my professional career until I was almost 30.
Coming into that, and I love all that perspective, you know, being at 30, did you have people in your life that were like, you're too old to do it, or like, you can't do it? Or, you know, I know a lot of, you know, as people are starting on their journey, everyone has an opinion, and some, not all opinions are valuable necessarily to whatever it is that you're committed to. So how did you grapple with just people's feedback in your life?
Not so much in a professional setting, because I think, you know, by the time, you know, so I was, you know, newly minted graduate, you know, literally almost 30 years old, but, you know, brought a little bit of a different level of maturity, shall we say, to that. So no, I don't, in my professional career, there was never a year too old kind of thing. And that's sort of how, you know, business works. I mean, by and large, most of the time, you're not criticized, you know, for being quote unquote too old. Indeed, I would say it's just the opposite. Oftentimes, you know, being too young as you step out into your entrepreneurial world. I mean, I only lasted, what, 7-8 years working for someone else. So I was an entrepreneur by, you know, 38. There was a little bit of feedback, like, you seem kind of young.
Yeah. How did you work with your mental game, and any practices that you do even today that you feel like really keeps, you know, your mindset in check as you grow and as you scale onto these different opportunities?
As I jokingly like to say, I'm not a religious person. You know, my religion is, even to this day, is athletics. So if I don't get out, and it's not just exercising, but it's also just being outdoors. That's why I continue to enjoy not only cycling, but skiing and things like that, because I just really enjoy being outdoors. To me, that, you know, that is my religion, and that's how I, you know, sort of keep myself focused. And I, you know, find out if I'm, you know, cooped up in an office under lights, you know, days on end over and over, my mood starts to degrade. So that's, yeah, you know, that's what works for me. For others, maybe it is religion, maybe it's yoga. For me, it's doing something super intense outdoors.
We share that in common. I was actually up at Eldora yesterday, just getting a little bit of runs in, and just to actually be outside. I find sometimes it takes more than an hour just to actually reset the system from a mental perspective as well. So absolutely. I love hearing that. I'd love to jump in to talk a little bit more about Solid Power, which is, mm-hmm. you know, the company that you're running now as well. And also just the evolution of that, you know, as I mentioned in the introduction, you know, raising, you know, $26 million in this Series A, making these successful partnerships, you know, to just take something from idea to actually get other people to believe in the vision, to get it funded, if that, you know, is the type of business that requires that. And, you know, just a little bit of backstory on how this came to be.
Yeah. I mean, so if we go back to day one, so, you know, how I got exposed to the whole concept of Solid Power was just through some networking through some local professional societies here along the Front Range of Colorado. You know, I had the last, you know, quote unquote real job I had. I had led an advanced lithium ion battery group. So that's sort of where I got my first exposure to battery systems. Through networking in these professional societies, I was essentially got connected with a couple of professors at the University of Colorado, who, you know, essentially said, "Hey, we're winding down some research that we'd done on this thing called a solid state battery," which at that time I didn't know what that was. But, you know, rather than just, you know, doing the tried and true throw it over the fence at the university's technology transfer office, you know, they had a particular passion in wanting to see a business leave the university centered around that particular research. you know, because at that point I was a newly minted entrepreneur, which means I had a lot of time on my hands and was sniffing around for different opportunities, had a few other irons in the fire, which again turned into those other businesses. But it was a relatively straightforward thing for me to take on. The learning process really on both sides of the fence, on my side as well as on the university professor sides, was recognizing the super early stage nature of the technology as it was at the university level, and then really coming up with a business plan to help address that. And you know, key to that business plan, and this would have been really 2012, 2013 timeframe, is that, you know, there's still a heck of a lot of science risk here, guys. And I don't think going out and raising, you know, private capital right now is a good idea, because they're looking for a certain thing. They're looking for a certain level of maturity. We're not there yet, and I'm not going to lie. So, you know, maybe what we should do is let's go after some grants and contracts, primarily from the federal government. A lot lower risk, non-dilutive, so they're not going to take equity in the company, and you know, gives us some time to prove some things out. Sure. And we did that. We, I think, in total raised something on the order of maybe 15 to 16 million through a variety of both federal grants and contracts. We even got a few commercial joint development agreements towards the latter part of that period. And that really got us through, I'd say, I don't know, 2016, 2017 timeframe. And at that point, you know, we realized, okay, we've got something here. Now we need to switch gears and move faster. And, you know, batteries are hard enough that you don't really bootstrap a battery company, which again, my other company, a space company, you do bootstrap that. You don't need to raise private money. In batteries, you can't do that. It takes too much capital to scale, et cetera, that you've got to go out and raise money. And so we hit that point roughly about 2017, where, you know, we sort of switched from de-risking to actually, okay, now we need to move quicker. And then that's, you know, that's where we completed the Series A. I think we wrapped that up in 2018.
Yeah. Wow. And, you know, just for those that are like, okay, Doug, so what's this battery thing? You know, like what's this solid state battery? Like, tell us about that, the application for it. It's just so listeners can understand all of what Solid Power is doing.
Yeah, absolutely. So I'll kind of boil it down to simple terms. So, you know, obviously I think most people are aware of the, you know, the growth of the electric vehicle market, you know, obviously driven by groups such as Tesla, but, you know, now you're seeing just a huge proliferation in new vehicle offerings. And, you know, the big sort of pain points there with EVs is things like range. So, you know, I want to increase the number of miles I can drive on a single charge. And, you know, I also don't want this vehicle to cost an arm and a leg. The answer to all of that is really in the battery system, because the beauty of an electric vehicle is its simplicity. You know, the battery is pretty much everything. You know, it's your powertrain, it's your fuel source, et cetera. But it's also the biggest cost contributor. And of course it, you know, the capacity of that battery, and the energy density, specific energy, is what dictates really your range. And lithium ion, as gosh, you know, now it's a 25-year-old technology. You know, the gains in lithium ion as it pertains to the energy density, which essentially you could think of as directly proportional to the range that a vehicle gets, those gains are diminishing because by and large, the chemistry hasn't changed a whole lot than, you know, when Sony first introduced lithium ion in the, you know, early to mid 2000s. There's been a few, you know, tweaks here and there, and then of course a lot of engineering improvements. But, you know, the chemistry itself has not changed. And so, you know, you're starting to hit theoretical capacities on with that legacy chemistry. And so now as consumers are still looking for significant increases in range and, of course, associated cost reductions, the communities recognize that it's got to look beyond, you know, legacy lithium ion chemistries. And that's where solid state comes into play. As the name implies, it is solid. So it means you're replacing the liquid electrolyte that you see in conventional lithium ion with a solid ion conducting material that allows you to use much higher capacity electrodes that you can't use in lithium ion. So that's where, you're able to, you know, credibly point at, you know, 50 to 75 to even 100% increase in energy. That's a big deal over commercially available lithium ion. And then another benefit is substantially improved safety, because you've replaced that liquid electrolyte, which is essentially the spark that starts a, you know, fire in a thermal runaway. You have by and large a much, much safer chemistry. And in terms of large battery systems, like what you see in an EV, a safer battery is a lower cost battery, because a lot of the engineering features you see in a, you know, large lithium ion battery packs can be, eliminated or at least greatly reduced. Yeah. That's it in a nutshell.
Yeah, absolutely. I appreciate hearing all of the details of that. And, you know, also inside of that, you just from a consumer standpoint, you know, obviously, you know, you've got your hands, you know, your whole company does in really the forefront of this, you know, electric market, like you said, developing this more, I don't know if efficient's the right word, but battery, the solid state battery. What can consumers expect, in your opinion, you know, over the next few years? And what trends are you starting to see? And just anything you think people are missing or don't have their attention on, just in terms of how things are represented? Anything come to mind in that regard?
Yeah, I would say that, simplistically speaking, EVs are coming, and they're really coming in a big way. And it's interesting, you know, we pass around a lot of market reports. And if you look at the, you know, the market size for, you know, energy storage, which is essentially a battery, you know, 10, 15 years, those numbers keep going up and up. You know, there was one report that talked about, you know, 150 billion market size by the end of 2030. Another recent market report came out and they essentially tripled that, $500 billion, huge market, and all driven by electrification, you know, vehicle electrification starting to displace gas combustion engines. So from a consumer standpoint, EVs are coming. We're seeing it now more so in Asia, but Europe is going to be the next big wave. And then I think here in the United States, it'll throughout the 2020s, it's going to become increasingly a part of our reality. And I think from a consumer standpoint, I mean, EVs are awesome. And if you look at it and again, not, you know, I think the fact that, you know, reducing carbon footprint and greenhouse gas emissions is all great. But at the end of the day, you've got to look at it from a market standpoint. And, you know, my selling point to consumers is, man, total cost of ownership goes down. I mean, the beauty of an EV is its simplicity. The fact that you don't have a transmission or any of this other stuff that you have to maintain. It's just, you know, I think it's hugely empowering. Now it's on the market to create, you know, a much greater offering of EVs, reduce the cost of the EVs, because right now, admittedly, they're still luxury vehicles. I mean, a Tesla Model 3, you're still in the mid 40,000s with a decent car, and that's still kind of expensive, but that's going to change here fairly quickly.
Yeah, absolutely. Doug Campbell, everyone. Doug, thank you for all of that. Listeners, if you've been enjoying this conversation, we've got an awesome giveaway happening just after the rapid fire round. We're going to move into that, Doug. I've got a series of lightning questions coming at you.
Okay.
Are you ready?
I am.
All right, let's do this. Question number one, fill in the blank. If you really knew me, you would know what?
I'm a reasonably nice guy. Is there an explanation needed, or are we good there?
No, we're good. We're good. It's good.
You caught me flat-footed there.
Good. It's important to wrap the fire out. So great. Next question, number two. What is one food that you really enjoy having? It could be an indulgent food or just something that you just enjoy.
You know, I'm a huge breakfast guy. Love bacon and eggs. And of course, I'm from New Mexico, so everything's got to have green chili.
Oh, amazing. I love that. What is one thing in your life that you are really proud of right now in this moment?
You know, I think with the businesses that I've helped to create, one of the things that, you know, occasionally I reflect on is just the fact that, you know, we've been able to give, you know, good employment to now a large collection of folks, you know, 100 and some folks, and how that impacts them and their families. And even our local economy here in Colorado, I'm just super proud of that.
Amazing. Last question for you. What does living the unconventional life mean to you?
You know, one of the things that people are amazed by is that I never really unplug. So, you know, I'll check email all day, all night, all weekend. I never think of work as work. It's just, this is what I do. And similarly, I'll take off in the middle of the day and go for a mountain bike ride just because I feel like it, as long as there's not a meeting on my schedule. So I just, to me, I just, everything just blends. This is my life, my family, my businesses, everything.
Yeah, I love that. Such good advice. Doug, tell us about the giveaway that you've got for one of the listeners.
Yeah, so, you know, one of the things I like to do here is I'm a big t-shirt guy, and I like to come up with different, you know, riffs of our Solid Power logo. And oftentimes, you know, we'll sort of riff off some existing logos. So I think I mentioned to you earlier, we have one, that's kind of a riff on the San Francisco 49ers logo. And then we've got another one on the Santa Cruz skateboard logo. So it is so if you picture the Santa Cruz logo, but it's, we've got Solid Power kind of superimposed on that. And actually my team at the end of this year presented to me a custom painted skateboard with that exact same logo on it.
Wow. Well, it sounds like you've got a great team. It's amazing.
Yeah.
It's so good. So listeners, you can head over to unconventionalifeshow.com. We'll see if we can maybe even get a picture for you to take a look at that and apply for that giveaway. And we'll choose one of the listeners there. So thank you, Doug and team, for that. And Doug, for those that want to learn more about what you're up to, you know, even also engage more with Solid Power and understand more about the work that you're doing in the world, what's the best way to follow along and stay in touch?
Yeah. So, Solid Power's got a pretty healthy presence in social media. We're on Twitter, pretty active on LinkedIn. For myself personally, I actually have my own website, where I'm starting to get a decent collection of blog topics. That website is entrepreneurialdysfunction.com. So you can learn a little bit more about me there. And then, of course, going to Solid Power, battery.com. And if you're even interested in the aerospace business, rocor.com.
Amazing. Listeners, we will throw all of those links up at unconventionallifeshow.com in the show notes, so you can take a look there. Doug, thank you so much for taking the time to chat with us, to share a bit about your world and the evolution, and really appreciate having you on the show.
Yeah, thank you. A lot of fun.
Yeah. Thanks so much, Unconventional Lifers. We'll have more amazing content coming at you all soon.